you know, I can't give you all the ingredients to the hot dog. You might not like it.
Mike Tomlin with his most memorable quote of the season. And I look and I see Mike Tomlin is fourth right now in terms of Vegas betting odds to be the NFL's coach of the year. And we're going to talk about that coming up in a minute. But I like to tell all of you that the Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. And I'd also like to relay a text to you. How can you hate on Ralphie? You must never have wanted a BB gun, Crowley. No, I went through a big-time airsoft gun phase.
Yep.
You ever have an airsoft?
Sure.
Back in the day, we'd go behind my friend's house in the woods, and we'd play like cops and robbers, and we'd fire those things at each other until my one buddy got hit in the eye, and then my mommy wouldn't let me have one anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I would recommend to any of the kids listening right now, if there are any at 6:03 a.m., wear protective eye coverings.
Kids still do that?
I don't know.
I doubt it.
I don't know.
Kids barely go outside, so I can't see kids just running around playing cops and robbers with airsoft guns anymore.
Yeah, probably not in 2024.
Nah. They're doing it on their iPads, VRs, on their little headsets.
Kids are doing it on their iPads.
On their iPads.
You did the paintball thing back in the day?
No, a bunch of my buddies did. I did one time. A
couple times we do that for like a friend's birthday party. Oh, it was so much fun. It'd be like Halo in real life.
Yep.
I got shot in the nuts with a paintball one time. And I wanted to wear a cup, and I was with my baseball teammates, and they said, no, you'll be fine, Callis. And you could see the splatter on my pants where it was. It hurt.
Hold up real quick. You mentioned this before you went, that you wanted to be wearing a cup, and they told you no?
Correct.
Oh, they were gunning for your sack, man.
Absolutely.
Once you made it clear that you were really nervous about your giblets, they were shooting right for them, man. They were going right for the nuts. Right for the family jewels. Okay, Mike Tomlin fourth right now in odds for coach of the year. And I think every once in a while we need to stop everything we're doing and evaluate the head coach of one of the most popular football teams in all the land, Mike Tomlin. Because at the end of the season, the result is going to be the only thing that matters. Do you win a playoff game? Do you not win a playoff game? Do you get the most out of a roster? And the national media is probably going to think that Mike Tomlin's done a better job than the local media, and that's just the way it goes. It's like a carnival ride, just spinning round and around and around every year, basically for the last 7 years. But the reason I want to stop and do it now is, A, I stumbled upon the odds yesterday, and B, I think it's fair to heap praise on a guy when things are going well, certain stopping points in the year. Through three games, I think Mike Tomlin should be no worse than second for NFL Coach of the Year. That doesn't mean I'm projecting that he'll be the best coach in the NFL. That doesn't mean I think the Steelers are all of a sudden going to win 13 games. Right now, today, if you want to say that O'Connell in Minnesota is Coach A, I can live with it.
Yes.
But Mike McDonald and Jim Harbaugh are both ahead of him on the list.
I can go McDonald, too.
Mike McDonald's done a wonderful job.
They're undefeated. It's just, you know, first-time head coach. Okay, but go ahead.
I can't get there with Jim damn Harbaugh.
No.
He just beat his ass. But if you want to go there with Mike McDonald because Seattle is 3-0, okay. If you want to go there with O'Connell because the Vikings have beat two Super Bowl contenders, okay. But Mike Tomlin, he deserves to be right there. We went over all the injuries, but here's the other thing. In a league now where I guess you're allowed to win with defense, something we'll have a larger discussion on later in the show, and I'm really excited to do that with you and Pat Bostic, who's going to join us from 7 to 9, his defense is the best. Like, you got a lot of good defenses, maybe a lot of bad offense right now, but the Steelers far and away the best defense in the NFL, and they probably should be based on what they're paying, but he's a defensive-minded head coach, and he's got them kind of lapping the field there. And they're 3-0. With a backup quarterback. So I think Mike Tomlin, to this point, has done a fabulous job.
A really good job. And I think he stayed out of the way with the offense. I know that they have a thought of how they want to run their offense and how they want to, you know, approach their offense. And I think that for the most part, he's letting... Oh, what's so funny?
I have a wedgie and I'm trying to adjust it. And I wanted to see if we had the close-up view of us and we don't. And it wasn't until I shoved my hand down my pants until I look at the screen and find out we got the wide shot. So everyone just saw me shove my hand in my pants.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there.
No, I mean, I think he's done a good job of staying out of the way of Arthur Smith and letting Arthur Smith do his thing. I mean, It was I think that that's exactly the thought process heading into the last offseason and who they wanted to hire for an offensive coordinator. Whenever you have a guy like Arthur Smith become available, it's not that you're getting an offensive coordinator, you're getting another set of eyes at the head coach spot. So I think that that was a really good match, at least so far, right there. And then, like you said, with their defense, like, they made the appropriate moves. And I asked Doug this question yesterday because sometimes I ask Doug questions because I know the answer, and I want him to say that so people can learn. But yesterday I didn't know how this process went. Like, when I asked the question of how does it go with a head coach and, you know, working with the pro scouts, working with the GMs to get the type of players to fit what they want to do. Like, I feel like that has to be hard because, you know, Andy Weidel wants a certain player. He feels that could fit the system. Omar Khan sees a certain player that he feels like could fit the system. But Mike Tomlin ultimately is like, okay, like, this is my system. I might not think that guy fits my system, but you think that guy fits the system. So yeah, we're going to have to come together and have a compromise here. Like, that, I think that that's probably very tough whenever you have a coach like Mike Tomlin. Some coaches kind of don't really have a say, you know, if you don't have the, you know, the credibility as
right,
Mike Tomlin.
You're going to pick the groceries. Right. I'm going to have to find a way to cook this meal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think that they did a good job, and Mike Tomlin, with creating the depth that they did on defense. And even yesterday, and we might get into a little bit, you know, C.J. Henderson is a pedigree signing to the practice squad. He's a former first-round pick corner. You know, bringing back Terrell Edmonds just in case something happens with Deshaun Elliott. So you know that you're not going to miss a beat next to Minkah Fitzpatrick. KZ, you know, having signed Patrick Queen in the offseason, you know, the drafts. I think that Mike Tomlin has really put this defense together the correct way to be better than last year, to know that if we do get in a situation on offense, our defense can go in there and absolutely stop. So, yeah, like, I'm with you. I mean, top three, I can see the argument for McDonald and O'Connell, but he has done a fantastic job so far. And in kind of, you know, managing this quarterback situation too, you got to give him a little bit of credit of just a tad bit because obviously injury, but just a little bit of credit of having some faith in Justin Fields.
Well, and I do think that he's kept this thing, which is a quarterback controversy, less controversial than it could be, mm-hmm, by not staking one particular player to the job. Now, that's all going to come to a head. He's kind of having his cake and eating it too right now, but I think it's a genius way of approaching it. You know, a lot of times we'll play Mike Tomlin clips and I'll eviscerate the guy because I think he's lying or he'll say something I disagree with, but when he hasn't named a starter, I think that's keeping everything hunky-dory for as long as possible. You're not going to piss off Russell Wilson. Justin Fields, you keep him singularly focused on trying to continue to prove that he's the starting quarterback. Yeah, I do think he's done a good job with that. And there was a day you were out right before the season, and I sat here, Dorn, and I eviscerated Tomlin for having his team tackle more than any in training camp and for playing his guys a ton in the preseason and risking injury, and in my opinion at that time, not preventing injury, which is something that they believe in. Why you can't box unless you spar, crap like that. I crushed them. But here they are, a team that hit more than anybody else, team that played their guys in the preseason, 3-0, because they were able to hit the ground running. Cincinnati, not the case. The 49ers don't play guys. That's a great football team with a ton of talent, and they're hurt too. But there they are at 1-2. I got to go back on what I said about Mike Tomlin pushing the guys too hard that early. It's worked for him. I can't be the guy who says they need to have a great start this year because of the back half of their schedule and then now be pissed that he played guys as much as he did and let them bang bodies as much as they did in training camp and OTAs and minicamp and all that nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Tomlin's done a wonderful job. They can go out this weekend and lose to Indianapolis, and we could start having a different conversation. They could start 6-0, go in the tank. They could have a great season, get blown out in a playoff game. That's all possible. That's all on the table. Who knows? But right now,
yep,
Mike Tomlin's done an excellent job. Left guard, best offensive lineman, out. Stop me if you've heard me say this before. Jalen Warren, most explosive offensive player, or at least at the running back position, he's been out. Now you're without Alex Highsmith. You don't have your right tackle.
Quarterback.
Your quarterback is the guy that was the backup coming into the season. There's more injuries. And here they are sitting at 3-0. And one more thing. I never played in the NFL, Dorn. Did you know that?
Yes.
I didn't play college football.
Yes.
I played flag football.
Mm-hmm.
Intramurals.
And you threw to an opposite player that clapped his hands.
That's right. I threw interceptions to co-eds back in my day. So when I say this, I think I'm not the only one who notices it. For the first time in a very long time, every single game the Steelers have played this year, the game plan's been different and specific to the opponent.
Yep.
And that's just good coaching.
Uh-huh.
What do we need to do to beat Atlanta? What do we need to do to beat Denver? And it looks different in both games. What do we need to do to beat LA? Oh, they want to stop the run? We're going to throw it 32 times. The head coach deserves a ton of credit for that. And a big reason why they're 3-0 is you avoid Justin Simmons week one, you sit on the thing week two, and then week three you let Justin Fields cook. So Mike Tomlin, to me, no worse than second coach of the year right now. What say you, 412-928-9370? We'd love you to text us. Brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. You can tweet us. Brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Coming up next, two big NFL insiders say the Steelers are sniffing around wide receivers. Who said it? Who's getting sniffed? We'll tell you when we come back. Someone texted in, Doran, and said, nobody likes Vegas Vacation. Terrible movie.
I like it. So there's somebody.
All right, let's look it up on Rotten Tomatoes.
It's probably not good. I don't go based off of that. I go based off of what I like. It's a good movie. When did it get? 20?
No.
15?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
But it did get a 51% popcorn-o-meter. So more popcorns than not liked it, I guess. Preponderance of evidence.
Man.
Vegas Vacation. I frankly didn't know that existed until about 25 minutes ago.
Seriously?
Vegas Vacation, yeah. I'm going to watch it. Chevy Chase is in it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, it's going to be funny.
They're all in it.
It's going to be funny.
The mom.
Yeah.
Beverly D'Angelo.
Yeah.
And Randy Quaid.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, I mean, you put those guys together, it's going to work. Like, yeah. You put Jim Kelly with Thurman Thomas.
Andre Reed.
Andre Reed.
It's going to work.
They're going to go to Super Bowls.
Right.
It's going to happen. Yeah, I'm down. Fan Morning Show Twitter poll brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement Trust, PJ.com. Do you like Vegas Vacation? That's vote at underscore Adam Crowley. Did you happen to hear what Antonio Pierce said after the Raiders game this weekend, Dorn?
I believe so, but refresh my mind.
So they lose 36-22 to Carolina, which is never good. That's almost as embarrassing as having 70 hung on you by JMU if you're the University of North Carolina. And after the game, he said there was definitely some individuals that made business decisions and will make business decisions going forward. So I look at my neighborhood friendly sports book, Doran, and I see that the Steelers have the fifth best odds to land Devontae Adams. Also, bloop, get a little notification from ESPN yesterday. Insiders. Guy that we're familiar with, Jeremy Fowler, Dan Graziano, they write an insider column every week on ESPN.com, and they wrote this about the Steelers. Quote, I expect them to continue to monitor the receiver trade market as the deadline approaches. Tennessee's DeAndre Hopkins and Jacksonville's Christian Kirk are two veterans who could conceivably become available and might be appealing to the Steelers. Any of those three tickle your fancy? All those three tickle your fancy? And do you think that one of them will be a Pittsburgh Steeler at some point?
I think all three tickle my fancy. DeAndre Hopkins being third because of his age, but Christian Kirk, I think, could be a really good number two in a pretty good system. And I just obviously love Devontae Adams. I think he's just fantastic. I think he's one of the best receivers in the league, but I do believe. I think I said this on Monday. I don't know if I said it on air or off air to you, that if the Raiders continue to lose, they don't know what they're doing with the quarterback situation. I think this week Gardner Minshew is going to start again, but that was up in the air. If they continue to lose and then they lose against the Steelers, whenever the Steelers and the Raiders play in a few weeks, if I'm Omar Khan right after the game, I go up to their GM and I say, hey, what do you want for Devontae Adams? They've created some room, and they have at least a structure in place to have a big-time receiver.
You can always make something work.
You can always make something work. So they already had it in their mind that they wanted to get Ayuk, and I don't think that went away because you signed Pat Freiermuth and you signed Hayward. I think that they still want a number one, number two receiver. I think that that just really elevates this offense and makes them a legit, legit contender. I think one of those three guys, yes, I think they will be a Steeler before the trade deadline.
I'm okay with any of them. I do think Christian Kirk's a good player. Last 4 years has been productive. Last year, 700-some-odd yards. Had 1,000 yards before that, 900 before that. All of those numbers. That guy, for sure, an upgrade over what they have right now at number two. Davante Adams makes me go, ooh.
Yes.
Though. 18 catches, 209 yards on the season. And for comparison's sake, not that the Steelers are throwing the ball around a lot, George Pickens, 13 catches for 171 yards. Davante Adams has a touchdown. George Pickens doesn't. So Davante Adams, not a spring chicken anymore, but still a productive wide receiver. You play three games, you have 200 yards, you're going to be a 1,000-yard receiver this year. Math. Extrapolation right there.
Yes.
So I would be down for any one of the three. I think it's the only obvious hole that they've got on the roster right now. I'm still, you know, a little worried, I guess, about slot corner, but I think they've been okay there. I think Beanie's been fine, I think.
If you can hold it down until Cam gets back, you're good.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Kind of how you got to look at that.
And when you rush the passer as well as the Steelers do, you're going to perform better in the secondary than you otherwise would.
Yeah.
And, you know, I read a stat yesterday. This is not about wide receivers, but that's okay. We freeform this show like smooth jazz. The Steelers blitz less than any team in the NFL. And they're also third in pressure rate.
Your guys are getting home. Your guys are making their money.
God, that makes defensive coordinators look good. That makes defensive head coaches look good. When you, hey, we're going to rush four. We're still going to hit you. We still got seven guys in cover. That's pretty good right
there.
That's
really good.
I mean, that's the ideal situation. Unless you're getting pressure with three, that's as good as it gets. And I look at teams like the Browns, who have got a ton of pressure on the quarterback. They blitz the hell out of the thing. So they have to manufacture pressure. The Steelers don't. They just got better pieces than you. Their checkers are better than yours.
Yes, they are.
Mm-hmm. So I don't worry so much, as much, about slot corner. If you get a wide receiver, because of the injuries that they've accrued on the offensive line, you have to worry about the depth there. Because if you lose one of your tackles now, you're in big trouble. If you lost, let's say, knocking on wood, Zach Frazier, you'd be in big trouble. But as far as the starters are concerned, the two deep is concerned, wide receiver two is still the biggest.
Yes.
Biggest need.
Yes. I think they address it. I just have a strong intuition that they will.
And don't you feel good? It's one game where he really played well, Justin Fields. Like, really played well. I feel better about him now elevating the guys on the current roster. But imagine if you... Take your pick. Like, you got Pat Freiermuth middle of the field, which I still think there's a lot more meat on that bone. And then you got Davante Adams on the outside. You got George Pickens on the outside. Now I'm starting to believe that you can really contend for something.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, coming up next, the Steelers injury report yesterday, Doran. I'm going to count real quick on the air. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. 13 guys on the injury report. Is there concern with one big-time player in particular? We'll get to that coming up next. All right, the Real Fan Morning Show Twitter poll. Which wide receiver would you like to see the Steelers add? Davante Adams, Christian Kirk. Who's the third one that we were just talking
DeAndre
about?
Hopkins.
DeAndre Hopkins. You can vote at _ Adam Crowley. Obviously, tweet not out yet. A lot of people now texting and saying they like Vegas Vacation.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Yeah.
It's a good movie.
All you needed to do was throw up the Vegas Vacation signal, people texting in, they like it.
Yeah. I mean, it's National Lampoon, so whenever you see that in front of it, it's usually with Chevy Chase or Beverly D'Angelo and has to do with a vacation. And the best vacation spot is Vegas.
You are a big Vegas guy.
I mean,
big Vegas
guy. If you've never been to Vegas, if you went there, you would understand what I'm talking about.
I'm never going to go to Vegas, I don't
You probably
think.
Shouldn't. You would never come back, or you would never be found.
Yeah. It's not going to happen. The closest thing I'll get is watching Vegas Vacation.
Yes.
Which I'm going to do this weekend.
Or you'll watch the Raiders.
I would go to see the Steelers play.
No, you wouldn't.
I might go and watch UNLV. Their backup quarterback.
And their backup running back.
And their backup running back. Maybe they'll get the USC kid. The defensive lineman who's transferring. Maybe he'll go to UNLV. Maybe they'll promise him $100,000. We'll get into that later on in the show with Pat Bostic. There's a ton of ground to cover on all that. because some new information has come out. It's hard to tell who to believe in, all that stuff. Real quick, before we get into the injury report from yesterday, which has me a little bit worried, you know, someone texted in and said, please don't give Mike Tomlin credit for what the offense is doing as far as game planning. That's absurd, and you're just looking to compliment him. Doran, am I a guy that goes out of his way to compliment Mike Tomlin?
Absolutely not.
No. I just try to be fair. So when I see something good happen, I'm going to give them credit for it. When bad things happen, I'm going to rip them for it. That's how the sports talk radio should work, in my opinion. I'm not going to find reasons to nitpick a 3-0 head coach. Like, that to me drives me crazy. Like, they're 3-0. You literally can't be better right now than they are. They're the number one seed in the AFC. I don't have to sit here and invent reasons to be mad at Mike Tomlin.
Didn't we just sit here and say that we give him credit for letting Arthur Smith be Arthur Smith and run the offense?
You did.
Like, that's not giving Mike Tomlin credit for the offense. It's giving him credit to let the offense be the offense.
Yeah.
Or the guy that runs the offense.
Yes. And like, let's be crystal clear on this. One of the reasons for the criticism of Mike Tomlin last year is because he had Matt Canada and because his fingerprints were all over that thing. And now it seems like he's allowing the OC to do his job. So Tomlin would deserve credit for the evolution, but yeah, most of the credit offensively would go to Arthur Smith.
Yes.
Ah.
Yeah, you never go out of your way to compliment Mike Tomlin.
No, for a longest time, I was maybe the card-carrying member of the Mike Tomlin fan club. And then last season when they lost to New England, when they lost to Arizona, when they lost to Indianapolis, I jumped the ship. But they gave him an extension. Like, he's not going anywhere. I can't do the fire Tomlin thing anymore because it doesn't matter. You're screaming into the void. It's not like Matt Canada where eventually they succumb to the pressure. They never will. And the more I watch football, and we watch a lot of football, it's a great time of year. Man, even though Tomlin hasn't won a playoff game in 7 years, and when they've gone, they got their butts whooped, there's a lot of bad coaching in this league. There are a lot of questionable decisions made every week, aren't there?
Horrendous.
So bad, man. Mike Tomlin might not be, and he might be, but he might not be as good as a lot of folks in the national media think. What he is better than most. He really is. It doesn't mean that he, you know, satisfies my hunger for playoff victories, but there's a lot of bad coaches in the NFL. A lot of bad coaches. Every day you turn on a game. Tonight there'll be some bad coaching.
Like, is McCarthy a good coach? I don't know. I know that, I mean, is Daboll a good head coach? He's a good offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. I don't think so.
And those are different skill sets.
Yes.
Oh my God, yeah. Like, Mike McDaniel in Miami. What's happening there now is not his fault. First, Tua deserves a lot of credit. He's probably better than people think, because look what they look like without him. But Mike McDaniel, he's, to me, good offensive coordinator. Arthur Smith, good offensive coordinator. But just because you call plays and you got good sequencing and you can scheme things up doesn't mean that you can command a room of 53 men.
Absolutely.
I've always said the best coordinators should make near as much money as the best head coaches, because they're just as valuable, but they shouldn't be running a team. Like, Dick LeBeau was a not good head coach, but one of the best defensive coordinators of all time.
Yeah, I mean, it's like running a company. Like, do you want to be the owner and have to worry about everything, and can you manage a bunch of different things, or do you have a specific trade that you're really good at? Like, are you good at sales? Then just go be the head of sales.
Yeah, right.
Like, don't be the head of the company that has to worry about other things outside of sales, because you probably don't know what you're really getting into.
Yeah.
Like, you think you do because you're part of the company, but doesn't mean that you're going to be good at it.
No, you can have specific skill sets for a particular job. It doesn't mean you're good at managing people.
And I give people credit for trying, but, and then in Arthur Smith's case, like, understanding, like, oh, like, I mean, I don't know. He might've had another head coaching opportunity.
I bet
there.
You he gets another one if things keep progressing this way.
But I think he understood that I need to go back to my roots. He might have had one. I don't know. Whenever he got fired, he might have had somebody reach out to him.
Maybe. And a lot of people were not super excited about the Arthur Smith hire around here. I don't know that a lot of people were down on it. It just wasn't sexy.
It wasn't what they wanted. They wanted the young, you know, pass game coordinator.
Yeah, give me a guy off the Shanahan tree, the McVay tree. Give me a Kubiak, yes. Something like that. And they brought in a guy that I think people forget. The reason he became a head coach is because he was a great offensive coordinator. That's a reality. And so I think he's done a good job so far. And I think Mike Tomlin has really left alone. Like, I don't think Mike Tomlin wants Justin Fields throwing the ball in the middle of the field. But he trusts Arthur Smith and what Arthur Smith is seeing to game plan specific for opponent, and we've seen a different version of Justin Fields in each of the three games. I think that's good coaching. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to compliment the coaching staff when I think they're doing a good job. Now, they go out this week and lose 13-3 to Indianapolis. On Monday, I'm probably going to be pissed off. But here's something else, too. This is not going to be popular. Tomlin gets one. You get a mulligan. I think. Maybe not this particular game.
From the circumstance?
Like, if let's say you go 4-0 here. Let's say you go 5-0. And oh my God, we lost us. I can't believe we got upset at home by the New York Giants. I think you're allowed to have one.
Because? Because
everyone has one. Like, the Bengals lost to the Patriots and to Washington. The Ravens lost to Las Vegas. The 49ers are 1-2. There's a lot of good teams or teams that we've perceived to be good coming into the season that have stubbed their toe. Like, people always say, Mike Tomlin, there's always going to be a Mike Tomlin loss to a sub-500 team on the road. You know who has Mike Tomlin losses every year? Everybody.
But you
get one.
I think from what our conversation is right now of giving Mike Tomlin credit and the coaching staff credit of doing a really good job, it's hard for me to come in here and say that they've been doing a good job, but them also lose to somebody like the Giants. If they lose to somebody like the Cowboys, okay, that is a mulligan in my opinion. Like the Cowboys, you know, they're not playing great right now, but they're going to be in it at some point. Yeah. You know, it's the Cowboys. It's Dak Prescott. He's making $60 million. You got CeeDee Lamb making $100 million. Like they're a good football team. They just haven't been playing well. And that's a big game. I mean, it's a big, you know, Cowboys Steelers. Like if they lose that game, I'll give them a mulligan. But if you lose to the Raiders, if you lose to the Giants, no. I can't sit here and say that you've done a good coaching job and lose to a team like that.
Well, I don't think they've built it up yet. Like, if they lose to Indy, I'm going to be pissed. Like, but if you're, let's say you're 5-0 and you stub your toe, I can live with it a little bit more. It's not ideal. It's not what I want.
Mm-hmm.
If you're 6-0.
You got to beat the teams you're supposed to beat. If you're a good coaching staff, if you're a good team.
My point is you beat the Jets, you beat Dallas, and you stub your toe. Like, you've won two games against potentially good teams.
How frustrating is that, though?
It is frustrating. Like, what happened last year is inexcusable because you had three. You had four, really.
Yep.
New England, Arizona, both at home.
Yes.
Cleveland and their fourth-string quarterback. That was so bad, they did something they ain't done before and fired the coordinator. And then Indianapolis, where you're leading that game. It depends on how it looks. It depends on when. It depends on how many wins you've stacked up. I give you one. I give you one. You can have one. Everyone's had one, depending on the circumstances. I hope that makes sense.
It does.
People are probably going to kill me for it. Mm. Let me see the text line, and I'm being killed. All right, coming up next. Supposed to go over the injury report there. We'll do it when we come back. There is one player where I see him on that injury report, and I go, I'm a little bit worried. A little bit worried. We'll tell you who. We'll tell you why when we come back, and we want you back. Your heart care matters. Trust the experts at UPMC and get your heart screened. Pat Boss is going to be joining us in about 10 minutes. About 15 minutes?
15.
About 15 minutes. I tried to dart him yesterday by saying, because he said, oh, what time should I be there? And then you're like, every Thursday, 7 to 9, Pat, unless you got something better going on. You don't got to ask us every Wednesday what time I should be in. I said, yeah, about 7:05 to 8:57. And Bostic responded with something along the lines of, I would rather start slow than blow it in the final 3 minutes and 17 seconds of the show or something like
down
that.
Down 10. I was going to screenshot that and put it on Twitter.
I thought you might.
Yeah, I was thinking about it.
I thought you might.
It was pretty good.
It was very good, and it hit me like a Tyson punch in the face. And, oh, man, I barked up the wrong tree there with Mr. Bostic. Bostic real quick with the trash talk. Like, he won't start it. Like I, at least in my experience, he's not gonna needle you unless you come at him. If you come at Bostic, you better hit.
Oh yeah, he's fiery. Like don't get it twisted.
He's an assassin.
Don't get it twisted. Like and he'll end you too.
Yeah, he will.
Bang, done.
Bang, you say?
Bang.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. So here's the injury report for the Steelers from yesterday. Crowded training room, Doran. Russell Wilson limited with the calf. Roman Wilson, ankle, full participant. Stop me when you hear something that concerns you, okay?
Okay.
Van Jefferson, eye. He practiced in full. Gave him a new one, glass eye. Deshaun Elliott, quadriceps. He was limited. Dante Jackson, he rested. Took a little respite there. Limited. Jaylen Warren did not practice. We knew that was coming. Alex Highsmith did not practice. Najee Harris, rest. That's the one for me.
Huh.
He was in the sling. Mike Tomlin did not sound concerned at all about Najee Harris in his press conference. I have no doubt Najee plays in this football game.
Yeah.
He plays through stuff. I do wonder just where he is in terms of full health, like percentage-wise.
Well, at least it's not any. It's not a lower body or a shoulder. It's his elbow.
It's the elbow?
I'm pretty sure it's the elbow. So he probably, well, you know, whenever I mean, he runs so hard, so whenever he was going out of the ground, he might have maybe hyperextended a little bit. But it's just, if it's rest and not, you know, a specific thing, I think that he just got bumps and bruises.
Yeah.
As Mike Tomlin would say. He's going to play. I think that he is not, nobody's 100% right now, but I think he's fine.
Out of all the hits you've taken throughout your football career, and I'm not talking catastrophic injuries. I'm not talking when your Achilles popped. That was non-contact. I'm not talking about like if you tore an ACL or something like, or concussion. What's the worst place to get hit? Like, where is it, where it hurts? Like, I feel like elbow, like if it's December and it's 28 degrees and someone puts their helmet on my elbow, I'd be done playing football for the rest of my life.
Side of your thigh.
Oh.
Side of your thigh. If somebody's like, say you're running to the left and you're running to the left sidelines and somebody's beelining towards you and puts their helmet right in the side of your thigh where the pad isn't at, or your hip. Yeah, it's bad.
That Charlie horse area.
Yes, but like times 50,000.
Uh-huh.
Because then you can't walk. And then you know that whenever you do walk it off and the pain does go away, that in about 6 hours from after the game, that's going to flare back up again. You're not going to be able to walk the next day. Yes.
Is it a lot worse getting hit in the cold?
100 times worse.
Yeah. Is it tough to catch the football in the cold?
100 times harder. Hands are frozen.
That sucks.
And hurt.
Put a dome on everything? Like,
yeah.
What's his name says? Intern Dom?
Yes. I mean, I never agree with Dom, but I agree with that because, I mean, revenue-wise, and we've talked about this before, I mean, yeah. Outside of football, like, you could have concerts, you could do all kinds of different things.
You could have T. Swift come to PNC Park in the wintertime.
Yes.
With Travis Kelce.
Well, I wouldn't do it for baseball. For football.
Football, you would do it.
Football, yeah.
Travis Kelce out of shape?
Mentally.
Wow.
Mentally.
I saw two dudes try to get on stage at the Taylor Swift concert not long ago. Like, two dudes just trying to climb up on stage. They got eviscerated by security. Like, they went as a pair. They're trying to get up. She was, you know, grinding, bumping, all that. Try to hop up on stage. Bang! Right in the hip.
Mm.
Just like you're talking about.
Got him.
Mm-hmm. I'm worried more about Najee Harris's injury because Jaylen Warren's probably not going to play. And then you're really counting on Cordarrelle Patterson. Cordarrelle Patterson, I think they got him in a perfect role.
I'm opposite of you. I'm more worried about Jaylen Warren than Najee Harris. I think Najee Harris is going to be fine. But Jaylen Warren, this is two injuries. Now, I would do wonder if it's the same leg. I could probably find that out as the hamstring. But like once something, as a football player and as an athlete, once something, you know, is an issue, it usually leads to the compensation.
Right.
And then that becomes an issue of what you're, like, compensating on. So, like, if it's the right leg and that was his hamstring during training camp and now it's the right knee, it's kind of all connected. And then it makes it, what, double as hard to get back to your normal form. I am worried about Jaylen Warren.
And they need him, too.
And they need him.
They need him,
too. They need the explosiveness, as you've been talking
about.
Yeah,
as much as they've run the ball, and they've run it a ton, and even though they have gone over 100 yards in each of the first three games, I think by the end of the year, if they're healthy, they're going to be one of the better running teams in football. Jaylen Warren, with the explosiveness, their offensive line gelling, they are a running football team right now that's not great at running the football. If they want to get to a place where they can be elite, where they can really contend, you have to not just be a team that runs the ball. You got to run it well. If that's what you've bought into, and that's what they've bought into. And Jaylen Warren's going to be a huge part of that. All right. Pat Bostic going to join us coming up in the next segment, throwing darts at me. And we got to get into some of Doug Whaley's comments from yesterday on the quarterback. We've got our quarterback insider. You're going to be joining us for 2 hours. We're going to get to some pit talk with Pat Bostic as well, but we'll start things off with his evaluation through three games of Justin Fields. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet, 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500, 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms at sunchevy.com.